Hour number three kicking off in the Fan Run Studios. The Fan Run live stream is brought to you by our friends at Linderman Sports Medicine. My ankle's a little tender right now, but I'm okay. I'm okay. I've gotten active again. Sometimes I feel a little discomfort or pain. You may too. You might have some discomfort or pain that is limiting some of your activities. You need to check out the amazing work being done by Dr. Laura Linderman at Linderman Sports Medicine, located in Memphis, but people from all over come and try to get back in the game of life without surgery. It's worth the six-hour drive from Knoxville to Memphis if you're hurting. You don't want to be hurting no more. If you want to get back on your bike, back to the gym. Oh, man, I didn't get to check my shoulder out, actually. Or just have a healthier lifestyle, visit LindermanSportsMedicine.com. Hour three headlines. What do you got for us, Cam?
All right. Brittany Griner.
Oh, no.
Her pretrial detention in Russia has been extended by another month.
Brittany.
She appeared in the hearing in the Russian courtroom today. And, yeah, they extended her pretrial detention by a month. Her Russian attorney said.
Russian attorney.
Yeah, they just gave her an attorney over there.
Which, I mean, Noah.
Got a picture of her, though, so we.
I mean, you can't get it. Can you get an American attorney to come, like. Can you get a foreign attorney to come represent you in a different country? Like, I imagine they wouldn't be, like, licensed, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't think so.
Because, I mean, like, you know, there's licenses states, here, like states, yes. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't imagine you'd be licensed in a different country.
Yeah.
That's tough. I mean, I'm sure they have some that specialize in, like, English.
But like, I'm sure the lawyer knows
English.
Do
a good job.
I don't know. I mean, the lawyer's supposed to. Like, you're supposed to like have the like the oath or whatever. I don't know if they have like a Hippocratic oath. I mean, I know it wouldn't be Hippocratic, but like a similar oath, like for lawyers to always do your best. Like,
I think there's a.
You're supposed to, obviously.
Yeah, but I think a lot of those just lawyers they kind of give you also like they could do better.
Well, I'm sure
but they're also just like, hey, we'll do this, and it gets you out of here, but it also gets the court some stuff.
Cam, she obviously doesn't have a damn public defendant. She's got money. Like, I mean, sure they allow her to buy, like, an actual lawyer.
Maybe, I kind of assume that she just had to get a public defendant.
That's what I assumed, too, because it was just a different country.
There are rules in Russia. They just don't do whatever they want.
Okay, well, that's fine, but like, I wouldn't expect they would even have public defendants in Russia. I mean, the idea of public defendants is nice that like the courts will give you a lawyer if you can't afford one. Now, like Cam said, usually they're not very good, and like they're just in there trying to cop a plea deal.
They do plea deals.
So her lawyer is Alexander Boykov.
Okay,
Boykov.
Better be careful making fun of that pronunciation. They're gonna come throw your ass in jail somehow.
Come get me, Russia! I dare you. Alexander Boykov is her lawyer, and I can't find a singular thing about him or her, which is not good. Not even a LinkedIn. I guess I don't even know if LinkedIn exists in Russia.
Either way.
But yeah.
So she is, going to be at least another 30 days?
Yeah, that's what it seems like. She's stuck in these pretrial hearings at the moment, it seems like.
Yeah. She was seen for the first time.
Yeah. So we saw, we got a picture of her.
Isn't the picture just her with her
head down? Yeah, and a hoodie and handcuffs, and you're like, oh, geez.
Man, 30 more days, though.
Yeah, that's, and there's a February 17th. She's down bad.
So how many days are we up to, like, now? I guess, like, 90?
Probably somewhere there, yeah. March, April, May, close to that.
90, right? I mean, February, I mean, I guess.
Getting close to 90.
March, April, anywhere from, it's probably over 90. Probably around like 100 days, actually. I don't know what day she was in February, obviously, but.
Oof.
That's obviously a tough scene. Tough scene. Charlie, next headline, please.
Yeah. Kumar Rocker. Obviously, the big story with him during the MLB draft was how he got picked by the Mets in the top 15.
Mm-hmm.
And then, after failing medicals, and they failed to reach a contract agreement, and he just didn't sign. So now he has just been training and getting ready to re-enter into next year's draft, and that's going to be one of the biggest questions. Is he healthy, and what will his stock look like? Because he was one of the best pitchers in baseball. Well, he is now set to join the Tri-City Valley Cats of the Frontier League, where he's going to try to pitch for a couple months in some indie ball and prove to these MLB teams that he's still got it and that he's healthy. So should be, if you're compelled by MLB draft season or
no.
prospect watch or any of not that, which really. I know you're not. I am. That's going to be like a really fun thing to track.
So he's back in the draft this upcoming year.
Yeah, he's back in the draft. Also kind of funny, the Tri-City Valley Cats are in New York's capital region. So he's going to be right there showing off for the Mets team that didn't sign him.
How's he been? Do we know how he's been? Has he been playing at all since then? Like,
he's just been training.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard from like some of his friends that like he's been pitching well and his velo's there and that nothing has really changed for him and he feels really good.
Well, hopefully he still gets drafted, huh? It's a shame what Vanderbilt did to his career.
Mm-hmm. Really is. Great guy. Mm-hmm. Great gar. Yeah.
Reports out that Nike, we didn't really think about it from this angle, but Kyrie Irving's maybe costing himself a lot of money as Nike apparently unlikely to extend Kyrie Irving's signature shoe deal beyond next season due to like the uncertainty surrounding like his career.
Yep.
Which, I mean, Kyrie is probably their best current seller, or at least like maybe it's behind like LeBron.
But yeah, he'd be next up. I mean, the kids love the Kyries. Like, Kyrie's like...
I mean, I feel like his shoes look pretty good, too.
I know, like, my younger brothers always wanted them and stuff like that. So.
I do remember, like, last year, though, he also came out and was like, hey, like, these are trash. Like, put down the design of his new shoes. So maybe Nike was like, you know what, I'll show you trash. Enjoy not having a shoe, buddy. But that's obviously a big, big financial loss for him if they, don't renew that contract. Speaking of NBA... We got some new trophies announced as the Eastern Conference Finals MVP and the Western Conference Finals MVP will now be awarded. Trophies named after Magic Johnson, obviously, for the Western Conference, and Larry Bird for the Eastern Conference, which feels like, I mean, I know that I understand them wanting to give some flowers to Magic and Bird just because like they kind of saved the league, that rivalry in the 80s kind of saved the league.
Mm-hmm.
Jordan already has his flowers. Barkley, Bird and Magic kind of get forgotten sometimes. LeBron's still active, but LeBron has 10 Eastern Conference titles.
Mm-hmm.
Or 10 conference finals, at least. 10 conference championships. Been to the finals 10 times. Maybe he would have probably won 10 MVPs as well. So, like, it's just kind of a weird thing. But those guys are, representative of each conference and – are legends, and it's nice of them to get something. There was a video of Larry Bird being told where he was kind of laughing about it, so he was happy. Made him happy to get it, so good for them. Ooh. Any other headline struggles?
I got one.
You got one, Cam? Go ahead.
Jerry Jeudy.
Oh, yeah.
Was arrested.
Oh, yeah.
Yesterday.
They got him out of here.
He finally got out on bond as well.
Poor Russell.
He'll be fine. This isn't really that big of charges, necessarily.
Domestic violence, though, wasn't it?
No physical harm. Basically, what happened was, that's what the criminal tampering is, basically. The domestic violence enhancer was just a term they used because he has, like, a relationship with the woman.
Oh, okay.
But there was no physical things. Basically, what he did was, she wanted to leave and, like, go back to Virginia or something, I guess, where she's from or something like that. And to prevent her from doing that, he locked her wallet, like medical records, and like baby formula, like in his car, so she couldn't get it and leave. So basically, that's all that really went down. They were just having an argument. He locked the stuff in the car because she took one of his 3 cell phones that he apparently has and wouldn't give it back. And so she ended up calling the cops, and nothing, obviously, like I said, nothing happened between them physically or anything. But officers came out to keep the peace, and basically, I guess he got arrested for preventing her from, getting to her belongings and stuff like that. So, don't think anything that bad will come from this. It just, it just looks worse, I think, when you see the term domestic violence and stuff thrown into the charges. So, I think he'll end up be fine. She may not even end up pressing charges, I feel like, in the grand scheme, but... we'll see. But, yeah, he was arrested and, released on bond Friday morning after having to sit in jail for about a day.
Huge news in the medical field as they have officially found the cause of SIDS, which...
That's like the thing that kills the babies?
Yeah. Yeah. Like whenever, like the.
So like when they roll over? No, that's.
No. Do you know what SID stands for?
Oh, wait, is that? No, SID's when you're scuba diving and you're trying to come up too quick. Or was I right with the babies?
You're right with the babies, okay. But not from them rolling over.
Sudden infant death
syndrome. Yeah. So like babies, basically, these babies just die.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's not.
But now they have found the cause of it, and I think we'll, you know, obviously be able to kind of.
What was the cause?
Monitor. Researchers in Sydney were able to confirm basically.
Sydney, SIDS. Nice.
Each SIDS sample was compared with blood of healthy babies. They found the activity of the enzyme, I can't pronounce the word, was significantly lower in babies.
Enzyme?
Yeah, so like I guess they'll be able
just
to track
check
that.
Levels of that.
What enzyme is it?
Buttery colonostery. I don't know how to pronounce this right here. Okay. Right here. You take a chance at it. Go ahead. Come on, tough guy.
You all right with it?
Batriclin estrace.
As good as my guess.
Sound like you just cast a spell on someone.
But the one of the doctors who found it, the lead researcher, was actually someone who had her son die 29 years ago from SIDS, and she said the explanation there was that they couldn't tell her anything. They just said it's tragedy, and that's all they could say. And she said that didn't sit well with her scientific brain. So for the last 29 years, she has been working on trying to figure it out, and she has. So.
That's actually like an incredible story of perseverance and will.
I would imagine there'll be a movie or something made about it. At least books written about it. Because, yeah, I mean, that's it's one way to take a tragedy and turn into a. Imagine how she felt when she finally figured it out. The cry she probably had.
Oh, yeah, she
it.
Probably, yeah, yeah, she probably.
I'm about
really
to cry
did.
Thinking about it, honestly.
That's actually like. Really heartwarming.
Yeah, no, it is. Yeah, it is.
You think they have to rename it now? With now, if they know what it is, and it's not like sudden infant death disease, it's like.
Well, hopefully they can prevent them now. Look, again, I don't know if that'll be a part of baby testing. I don't know. I'll have to read more about it, but they.
Can they prevent it, you think, or can they just be like, oh no, this baby might die?
Well, they could probably see, if it's just the enzyme, they probably see, can monitor the levels of that, and if a baby's too low, they can probably do some stuff to bring those up to a normal level.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important that they could, prevent the deaths. But, we'll see.
Nice.
Okay,
let's go to another shooting.
We're at
Dallas.
That's not good.
How big?
Two dead, 300.
Where at?
It says Deep Elam. I don't know what
that
means. Deep Elam.
Like a store?
I don't know. I think it's just a place near Dallas. I don't know.
Let's go to break. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio. I guess we should talk about last night's playoff games.
Oh, yeah. Those did happen.
Poor James Harden. Not even real poor James Harden. I mean, he shot the ball 9 times.
Yeah. No points in the second half of an elimination game.
It's the same old story for the Sixers where they just can't find a second guy to help Embiid. Embiid's not good enough to get them over the hump. I don't know if it's the fact that, the Heat just have a swarming, overwhelming defense, if Embiid is only 80% or whatever, but they held him to 7 of 24, and they had nobody on the other side that could stop Jimmy Butler. Nobody's stock has really been hurt more over the last year or so. Well, I take that back. There's been a lot of people's stock's been hurt because no one even likes Ben Simmons anymore. But at one point we thought Matisse Thybulle was supposed to be some defensive stopper, and he gets 11 minutes as the other team's best wing player, scores 32 points, and he's supposed to be that guy out there stopping Jimmy Butler, and
he only
gets 11
minutes.
You think
you'd put him out there, yeah, and at least try to have him slow him down.
Yeah, you played 11 minutes. I understand he has no offensive game, but he can't even stop anybody either. So the Sixers go into an offseason of, I guess, uncertainty. Stephen A. Smith's been screaming that if they were not to, advance past this round, that Doc Rivers is getting fired. Doc Rivers has been linked to the Lakers. which I don't know if the Lakers would have to trade for Doc Rivers or if the Sixers would be like, no, we'll just fire him and he'll just agree to not take a buyout because he can go get another job or what. I don't know. But Doc Rivers proves once again like he can do this stuff in the regular season, but he's pretty clueless when he gets to the playoffs. If you need any other further proof of that, just keep in mind he was playing DeAndre Jordan in the playoffs in 2022 and then arguing with people about why it's a smart thing to do. James Harden got a player option to pick up for $47 million.
That's absurd.
Although if I am the Philadelphia 76ers, I would rather him just pick up his option rather than him decline it. Me have to give him like a four-year deal because I don't know if I want to pay him for 4 years. I really don't want to pay him for next year, but I guess I'd rather pay him than lose him for nothing. But I definitely don't want to give him a big contract extension. You guys want to say, Troy? Keep looking.
Me?
Well, I didn't know if I was like not letting you get in.
No. I was just trying to think.
Okay. You had a look on your face that you had something you wanted to say, but disregard that. Tobias Harris, still going to be under contract for 2 more years at $80 million, which is really funny and like good for Tobias. Like,
secure the bag.
Jimmy Butler got his ass last night.
Yeah,
though.
Jimmy Butler hasn't let that beef go, and that's a bad look for the Sixers of like Jimmy Butler like takes the time again to be like, you know what, I still wish I was on Joel Embiid's team. He didn't like fully say, I wish I was still in Philadelphia because he made sure to say, like, I love Miami. But he's like, I really wish I was still on Joel's team.
Do you think it would have worked out the same way? Because I feel like Miami is like one of the only places that he can stay at long term and continue to thrive without just ruining every relationship and like blowing things up.
Well, on one hand, like Miami obviously loves the tough guys, and Jimmy's a competitor and like wants to win, and like that's really all that heat culture means. Is like you're all obsessed about winning. Like it's really all that heat culture means. Is like you are a professional that wants to win.
Yeah,
but even like he was like ready to fight Spoelstra, so like I guess they didn't make it a big deal because they're just kind of like, it's heat culture, it's fine, like don't worry about it. But like when you have your head,
hey, it was heat culture though. Here we are.
No, I know, but like when you're
fine.
But I'm saying like it's not like his like relationships weren't strained there because you literally had the head coach be like, "What do you want to fight me?" Like that's not healthy, but it's understood in Miami and it works out.
I think that is a little healthy sometimes.
That's fine. Like I would rather have it like to my players, maybe than like
context for like football. But
yeah, well, I'd rather probably have it between like players versus like my coach and my player. Like you want to fight me, but either way, obviously it works. And like Spoelstra loves Jimmy, and like they have an understanding. So maybe it's only going to work in Miami, but it wasn't going to work in Philadelphia with like Brett Brown. Like, the reports there was, like, you know, Brett Brown, he was coaching. Him and Jimmy didn't see eye to eye, but that he had told the front office, like, hey, we want Jimmy back. And then there was the reports that, like, well, Ben Simmons didn't really like that whenever they were playing in the Eastern Conference semifinals, Jimmy Butler was the one handling the ball. Ben doesn't like playing off the ball.
He went from that to passing out of the game-winning shot.
Right. And now there's reports coming from Sixers guys that kind of lay the true story behind that. It was kind of like talking about how, you know, the agents there, and especially Jimmy Butler's agent, when they found out they weren't going to give him big money, warned them, like, look, this is going to ruin your team, and it's going to put Ben Simmons in a bad position where you're eventually going to have to trade him, which is either really good foreshadowing and foresight, or, like, it's just like an urban legend that, like, Jimmy Butler's agent even has this superhuman ability either. But that's exactly what happened, because obviously we know the Sixers had to trade Ben Simmons. His standing in the league is ruined. And now the Sixers, you know, have been toiling, and I don't want to call it mediocrity because that's an insult. Like, it's not mediocrity. It's not. They've been good, but they have yet to make a conference finals.
And can't get over it.
They have made the playoffs. Like, the process started in 2013/14. Since then, they've made the playoffs 5 times, which is fewer than Brooklyn, the Pacers, the Hawks, the Heat, the Bucks, the Raptors, and the Celtics. So 7 teams have more playoff appearances than them. And the Philadelphia 76ers have made the conference finals 0 times, which is fewer than the Pacers, who made it once. The Hawks, who have made it twice, along with the Bucks and Raptors, who have made it twice. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the Heat and Celtics have made it 3 times each. So, like, they are basically the 8th best team in the East. And that wasn't worth, like, throwing away, like, 3 seasons worth of stuff. I still don't necessarily like disagree with the idea of the process, because if you told me this was Joel Embiid and Jason Tatum, which it easily could have been had they picked him over Markel Fultz, then this team probably looks a lot different. They probably are winning the East if you put Joel Embiid and Jason Tatum together.
Probably won like multiple NBA finals by now.
I would say like they probably win last year and then probably getting ready to win their second one this year. Because like I do think it took Tatum some time to mature and become like that guy.
Fair.
But they've definitely got at least one by now. They've made a conference finals at least, I'll tell you that much. But they just made bad draft picks.
I don't know. I mean, Doc Rivers, this postseason, though, he did obviously make some poor coaching decisions. Mm-hmm. Like, again, DeAndre Jordan game one, just getting abused over and over again.
Let's run it back in game two.
And then, yeah, and still trying to stick with it. You know, I thought the switch of the zone actually kind of worked in those games at times until it didn't because they just didn't have the personnel. But I think a lot of, you know, blame also kind of falls on some of the roster building the last couple of years, obviously. Like, especially, like, last night, Doc Rivers. Was there anything that he really could have done last night or in game five from a coaching perspective that would have made them any more competitive? He was just stuck with a banged-up star that was trying his best, a washed-up star that wasn't actually even trying his best at times. It felt like getting beat by 15 feet down the floor by Adebayo when they were both at the same spot.
I think my only criticism, I mean, I don't know, my only criticism feels like it would just be like, you got to at some point, like, get better out of your players. Like, you have to get more out of your players. And, like, last year was a disaster, I thought. Like, they should have beaten the Hawks. They were a better team than the Hawks. And I thought Doc, you know, coached their way into being equal with the Hawks and then had them choke. And then this series, like, the only thing I'd look and say, like, you had poor effort game five in Miami. Like, you just got absolutely smashed. You almost blew a 3-0 lead to the Raptors. Like, that was embarrassing that you don't let them kind of get back in it. And then, like, you've got to tell your star, James Harden, or at least one of your stars, and maybe he's not even a star anymore. Maybe that's the problem. You got to get
more
than
– Tell your star, Tyrese Maxey.
You got to tell somebody, like, they got to shoot more. Like, James Harden, like, we need you to be more aggressive. Like, you have to shoot. I don't know. Like, I don't really have any, like, real complaints with the rotation. I mean, Shake Milton played 28 minutes. And
well, Danny Green also.
Danny Green got hurt 3 minutes in. But, like, maybe played Dobble more. But, like, I don't know. I don't know if you know, where Doc Rivers falls on my, you know, my blame chart. But I also don't think Doc Rivers is going to, like, make them better. I don't think Doc Rivers is making them better. And, like, Doc Rivers, every time he talks to the media, just becomes less and less likable. When he had the nerve to sit there and say, when I got hired, no one expected us to be here. Like, bro, what?
Wait, he said that?
Yeah. He's like, no one expected anything from us when I got hired here. What are you talking about?
They expected everything from you.
Yeah, you were supposed to win a championship. And I get what he's saying. Like, this,
yeah, no,
like,
I would have. Never mind. I take it all back. That quote alone, I would fire him after the press conference.
He's very combative with the media, and, like, it doesn't seem like he takes any blame for anything. But, you know, it's kind of like when they asked him about, you know, choking leads. He's like, well, you know, we talk about me choking leads, but yeah, I blew a 3-1 lead to the Pistons, but we were the 8th seed. No one talks about how good of a job I did to get us up 3-1. And you're just like, just take some criticism, bro. Like, you don't have to. He's like, look at that roster. Look at that roster. That roster is terrible. And, like, it's probably a fair point, but, like, you don't have to try to prove it does, bro. That was 20 years ago. That was literally, like, 2003. I guess 2004. Because that's when the Pistons won the championship. It was 2004. And he's sitting here, like, trying to argue about something 18 years later. Like, let it go. Don't be combative about everything.
I have a feeling he has really bad heartburn.
He does see, he definitely, you can see the heartburn on his face. But I do think he's a professional coach and is someone that can, like, stabilize your program. So, like, I do think if, like, the Lakers hired him, like, it would probably be better than, like, Mark Jackson, which is the other candidate they're apparently interested in. Like, I see that. Like, if the Hawks hired him or got him instead of McMillan, I'd probably be a little excited. Like, hey, we'll probably be at least more consistent in the regular season.
Yeah.
But, like, we're not going to get any postseason success. And he's going to annoy you afterwards. And I even kind of agree with this point of, like, look at what we did for most of the season when we didn't even have our second best player.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, you're right. Like, Ben Simmons didn't play. But a part of that reason Ben Simmons didn't play is because you threw him under the bus, like, after last season. You kind of created all those problems. And then you didn't get the best out of James Harden. So, like, Doc's probably going to be gone. In the other game, kind of surprised the Suns no-show, to be honest. Like, that was embarrassing.
That. Yeah.
Luka with, you know, another awesome statistical game. At home, you just get the other guys stepping up, though. Like, Dinwiddie was back.
Mm-hmm.
Bullock was back. Brunson was back. And they just dominated the Suns, and now we get a Game 7 where I feel like there's some legacies on the line.
Yeah, this is huge.
This is bigger for, like, the Suns than I think it is for Luka, actually. I think Luka's done enough. I mean, like, it's only 3 games, I think. Maybe it's 4 or 5. I don't know. It says minimum 3 games, so maybe he's not the one with only 3 games. But, like, most points per game when facing elimination, Luka Doncic with 39 points. The next closest is LeBron James with 33.5.
Jeez.
And Michael Jordan with 31.3, which maybe we should take that into account when we have that debate about Jordan and LeBron. Look at that. 33.5 compared to 31. And then you have Wilt Chamberlain and Kevin Durant. So when you have a when you're on a list with those five players,
and
you're doing pretty good. Yeah, you're doing pretty good. And now a big game seven. Like, if Luka can pull that off, obviously it's a huge, huge accomplishment. But if Devin Booker and Chris Paul choke at home, that would be a huge, huge indictment on them, and it feels like it would shut their window.
I mean, I think I saw something that Chris Paul has already lost like four series where he's been up 2-0. And that's already like a record.
Yeah,
and this would just obviously just add to that.
He's kind of the Doc Rivers of coaches, to be of players, to be honest. Yeah.
I mean, he's been awful these last few games.
Oh, he's been pitiful. He's been abysmal.
Yeah.
And the Mavericks have to feel like, hey, we can go in there and win. But the last time they're in Phoenix, I mean, like, you know, the role players for Phoenix showed up and they didn't for Dallas, and they won by 30. So, like, we got back-to-back 30-point blowouts. And as we just spent like the last 10 minutes talking about Doc Rivers, Daryl Morey says Doc Rivers will be back next year as the head coach. So we'll see if that is that just came out 2 minutes ago. We'll see if that holds up through the offseason, but the Sixers say they're bringing him back. Oof. We'll talk about the baseball team as they're getting set for first pitch 3 hours from now after the break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. All right, Chuckles, what'd you make of game one as the Vols take down Georgia?
Well, I think there's a couple big stories that you can take away from this series and from this weekend.
Give them to me.
The first being, obviously, the changeup of the rotation, which we didn't discuss yesterday because we weren't here. But Chase Dolander, going last night, and then you're going to have Blade Tidwell tonight. And then it was announced TBA for tomorrow, but Chase Burns threw last night, so you imagine that's Drew Beams, and that should be his.
And I was told some of the stuff I'm not supposed to like kind of talk about beforehand, but like sometimes I do anyways. But I was told there's nothing to really worry about with Burns. It was just kind of they got four arms that they want to get some starting reps, and like they also want to like manage some innings for some guys at the end of the season. So like, I would expect if Beam does start on Sunday that he will be the guy that gets a rest against Mississippi State next weekend. So like you could see like Burns back on Friday and then like move that off, and then Beam gets his day off.
Which
and maybe does
sense.
Some like bullpen stuff that weekend, but like that's it. So
it was a little concerning though that Burns has kind of been trending down.
Yeah.
And then does make an appearance last night, walks the leadoff guy, gives up an extra base hit, gives up a run, and then exits.
Yeah, so like, I mean, maybe it's a continued like slump for him, but that to me, I was told it wasn't the reason they made the switch. It was more so like they're trying to manage some arms.
I didn't think that was the reason either, but I do wonder if this weekend goes swimmingly, and maybe maybe Chase Burns even pitches on Sunday again. Maybe he gives you an inning, which I doubt he does, just because you don't want to mess with the starters' days of rest and everything like that. But
yeah.
I mean, if all three of those pitchers, have really good weekends, and Chase Burns did just have another bad outing, like, is there a part of them that'll think, well, I know we were just doing this to save some pitches, but maybe we should just keep it like this, or maybe we go back to this come,
when you're actually like
super regionals and such. So that's intriguing to watch. I thought Dolander was awesome last night for the most part. He
continues to be a stud.
He is the most consistent pitcher. He's had that one bad outing against Baylor to this day that still doesn't make a lick of sense. And since then, I mean, he has just been excellent for you. The other thing is Blake Burke. Blake Burke last night getting the start in that DH spot. We've seen him get a little bit more playing time lately. He's played in 31 games this year. He's started in 11, and he's had 54 total at-bats. In those 54 at-bats, 9 home runs, which is an absurd ratio. I mean, that's a home run every, 16 at-bats, roughly? I didn't do that right, did I?
9 of 54? You said 16 at-bats?
Yeah, I did that.
No, you're way off on that.
It's every 3 at-bats.
Yeah, I was going to say you're way off. No, not 3 either.
I put the wrong number on top.
It's 6, every 6 at-bats.
What?
6 times 9, Charlie, is what? 54.
54 at-bats, 9 home runs. So 9 divided by 54.
What?
No, 54 divided by 9.
Okay, which is?
6.
Yes, not 3. Yeah.
So a home run every 6 at-bats is
good. That's basically what Barry Bonds was doing in his prime, like whenever he was like at peak of the juice, whenever he's setting records and like getting walked. And when you get walked, that's technically not an at-bat, so like when they're intentionally walking him. But like, yeah, that's what he was doing.
And not only that, He's hitting 389. So he's a guy that, like, I've been – obviously you have so much talent in this lineup. It was hard to work a freshman in like Burke initially, but he's a guy that just – I've been really wanting this team to try to find a way to get in the lineup more. He was a guy that, you know, wasn't necessarily the biggest recruit in the world. He was rated number 391 and number 42 player in California by Perfect Game. But he was a four-time Perfect Game, like, preseason All-American. You know, he was a collegiate – baseball high school second team All-American, and in high school his senior year he batted 554 with plenty of home runs in just 24 games.
It does beg the question as to why he hasn't played more so far this
so
year.
Yeah, I thought maybe he would play more, and I thought last night, given that some of the lineup had started to struggle a little bit in recent weeks, you know, it allowed him to be inserted in that lineup. And obviously two home runs last night, one of them, I mean, they were both mashed, but one of them was like 110 off the bat, absolutely just hammered.
Yeah.
So seeing him in the lineup, like, that's just another exciting element that this team has, and I think you're probably going to see a decent bit more of him moving forward. And tonight, especially, I think, is a pretty favorable matchup for him specifically, because you're going up against one of the best pitchers in all of baseball tonight, in Jonathan Cannon. And you know, he is a guy that is 9-1, and at one point this year was absolutely rolling, and then he got shut down briefly in April because of some arm soreness. He missed 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 2 weeks, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Came back, his first start back, threw five perfect innings on a pitch count, similar to Blade Tidwell. His next two starts after they started ramping him up, have been his two most recent starts. And one of them, he went five innings and gave up four runs on eight hits. The next, he went seven innings and gave up four runs. So we've seen him look a little bit more human the last 2 weeks after coming back from that time off. And specifically, lefties have been able to, you know, show a little power against him. So now you have a powerful swinging lefty in Blake Burke that's hot right now. You know, I think you could see more fireworks tonight if he's given the opportunity. But a really fun game tonight between two of the better pitchers in baseball, just in terms of the respect that they command.
Yeah, I'm, you know, interested to see what the crowd looks like with the 5:30 start. It seems pretty tough, especially
pushing it, getting out of work and stuff for some people.
Yeah, I mean, it's just tough to get out there and get parked. And yeah, like Cam said, I mean, deal with traffic. I mean, if you're coming from any other part of Knoxville, I guess near impossible. Should be a fun matchup. I guess tonight you can clinch at least a share of the SEC championship.
Yeah, if Vanderbilt beats Arkansas, if Vanderbilt beats Arkansas and you beat Georgia tonight, you can clinch a share of the SEC championship. And then, you know, if that happens and you won tomorrow, you can clinch an outright SEC championship. But your magic number to clinch a share is 2. Your magic number to clinch the outright title is 3. So very, something that can be accomplished this weekend for sure.
Yeah.
You feel like, if you win tonight and tomorrow, you feel like Vanderbilt's going to take one from Arkansas.
You would think Vanderbilt gets at least one, right? So. You would think so.
I think they probably only get one, but I think they'll get one.
I know Vanderbilt was struggling, you know, in their midweek game that, you know, we know doesn't really matter against. Who are they playing? Indiana State,
yeah,
I think.
I think it might have been Illinois State either way. Yeah.
I think it was Indiana.
Indiana.
But they seem to be like kind of rounding into shape. They've been playing in some better baseball lately, I feel like. So yeah. I do think they'll get at least one versus Arkansas.
I do too, which... After everything's kind of settled, you know, Vanderbilt's emerged, Arkansas is still there, and now A&M has, you know, found themselves in position to maybe even host Super. So the SEC in general has clawed their way back in after there was a point there where it was like, okay, well, there's Tennessee and there's Arkansas, but where's everyone else?
Yeah, which I guess Vandy struggled a couple weeks ago against A&M, lost 2 of 3. But
A&M is also a top 10 team now.
Which I saw where they're canceling their – season finale game?
They canceled a midweek game against Incarnate Word to protect their RPI.
Yeah.
Which...
So I guess if they played a bad team, it would lower their RPI? Or are they worried that they would play and like could possibly lose?
Was just a lose-lose.
Yeah.
And even Incarnate Word, like they didn't necessarily love to play that game anyway.
Yeah,
so
they're like, it's fun. We're good. Season's over,
I've seen a lot of people getting mad at Jim Schlossengale for that.
I mean, it does...
I respect it. I respect, first of all, his honesty, and second of all... you know, he was kind of calling out the NCAA a little bit. He was like, hey, you know what? If you guys are going to put so much stock into RPI, yeah, which doesn't feel like a system that is perfect enough or you know, just accurate enough to put the amount of stock that the NCAA selection committee puts into it. If you're going to put all that stock into it, hey, we're not going to play. We're not going to risk that at this point in the season. He said, my job as a head coach is to put Texas A&M in the best possible position for the postseason, and that follows suit, you know, based on his job description. You know, that
I
is what
that
he needs to do. I agree.
And his explanation is 100% correct
right
as well.
They're on the cut line of being able to potentially host a super regional or regional.
And he does have to do what's best for them. It just, you know, the super ultra competitive people, you don't want to see them, you know, run from the smoke. But it's 100% the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. Last call on the other side is Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Last call on the program.
Get yourself a little snack.
Yeah, I'm hungry.
Pub sub?
Yeah, my second half.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm so hungry right now.
Yeah. That sounds it's a little delicious. Cold, but.
What do you get on yours?
Well, I like to get it, my chicken tossed in barbecue sauce, and then mayo and cheese, and then they've done me dirty 2 days in a row, or not 2 days in a row, but two orders in a row. I tried to order Tuesday, Cam, last day of the sale.
The sale's over?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's only last year.
It
like
went
4 days.
The 11th or something. Yeah.
I do the mobile pickup because, of course, I'm leaving the gym. Like, okay, I'll be there to get it. Order at 6:30. They're like, all right, get here at 7:10. Boom. Get there at 7:17 because they, you know, they sit it up there for 20 minutes to give them a little bit of a window.
Yeah,
I'm like, that's fine because I don't expect them to have it ready right at the time, but 7 minutes you should have it. Get there, nothing there. I'm like, oh my god. And then, you know, there's a little bit of a line, so I'm just standing there. Some woman comes and asks, like, everybody's taken care of. So one guy cuts me in line to tell him what he was looking for. So then she tries to go get it. So then like another 5 minutes later, she comes and gets me, and I'm like, at this point I'm mad. It's like 7:30, and I'm like, well. You know, I had a pickup for 7:10, and I don't see it. And then she, like, goes and finds it, asks the people making the sandwich. And they're just like, oh, we missed it. So then they're like, well, we got to go drop some more chicken tenders. I'm like, oh, my God. And I'm like, how long is that going to take? She's like, 10 to 15 minutes. So I say, forget it. I was so mad.
I would have been.
I was pretty mad.
I might have pushed over some produce in anger.
I didn't want to take it out on her because it didn't seem like it was her job responsibility. And the two people making sandwiches, one was like an old man, like 70 something. Yeah, like he's sweating over there. He's working his ass off. And another guy, like, I don't know.
He's cut so many chicken tenders.
I don't know what else he's been doing. So, like, I'm not going to try to ruin their day, even though they ruined mine. So then I ordered a day cam and I put the special instructions, like, hey, throw in barbecue sauce. And then, boom, no barbecue sauce.
No barbecue sauce at all?
No barbecue sauce at all. It's not really something you can, like, open and check either. They wrap it up.
You
so
should maybe start. Not mobile ordering.
Well, it's so much easier. Yeah.
It's
so much quicker.
Once in my life, I've never had a good experience mobile ordering.
I only had one bad where they did forget mine and I had to go be like, hey, where's my sandwich?
Well, I hate making them actually make it and like watch it on me, like walk it through either. I hate that. Yeah. So like, it's easier, especially because
like that.
They always like act annoyed when you ask them to throw in extra barbecue sauce. So I'm just like, whatever, I'll just put it on mobile. And I just told Cam last week or 2 weeks ago when I got one, I was like, oh, it's the best they've ever done.
Yeah, yeah.
And then since then, they've gone downhill. So I tweeted that their days are numbered and then like their service, customer service was like tweeting me like, yeah, well, tell us what happened, what location. And I'm just asking, would you have done it? Would you have told them?
No.
Probably. Depends on who was working, though. There's this one lady there, but she always takes care of me.
Yeah.
If she's there, y'all, it's all good. But, yeah, there's some of the new people there, not great. Not great.
I didn't know if it was snitching or just whistleblowing. I don't know. Like, whistleblowing, I guess you maybe have to be with the company. I don't know.
You got to protect the integrity of the sandwich, though.
I told.
You got to protect integrity.
I DM'd him and I was like, here's what happened. Here's where I was at. And I feel a little bit bad about it.
Okay. Sometimes you got to prune the bad sandwich makers. Put them in a different department.
But I didn't fully think about it because like now they're probably going to have like a very specific complaint. And now they're going to know whose it is.
No, they forget sandwiches all the time. Like I've had that happen to me. So they probably isn't the first time they've heard this.
Hopefully not.
You'll be fine.
Again, I've tried mobile ordering 5 times, and it's been, like, not there 3 times, and the other two, it's just been, like, wrong.
Well, usually they do a pretty good job. I don't always do the mobile order, but, like, especially, like, if I'm trying to get it before the show, because, like, it's perfect time, and usually I order, like, 10:30, it's like, boom, we're ready at 11:10. I'm like, I'll pick it up right on my way out, and I get here, and then usually it's perfect, but
No, that's the only value. The only value this company has too is just their subs. Everything else about them is awful, in my opinion. So they better make sure they get those subs right.
I mean, I like their actual like this other deli part too. Like just going to eat some chicken fingers, but also, you know, pick up some stuff from the grocery store as well. Anyways,
they price match and stuff. I rock with Publix.
Oh, they do. They do price match.
Yeah, I think the certain stores.
I just felt a little bad that I was snitching.
Yeah, gotta protect the integrity of the sub.
It's true. This isn't just for me, it's for everybody.
Yeah, this is important.
So they said they're sending me a gift card. We'll see how much it's for.
Ooh, nice.
She said to cover the cost of my two subs, so like $20 maybe, $15, I don't know, which is still
maybe like $25
sale price.
I'll be fine with that. I'm not gonna complain. I told her, I was like, hey, look, I don't want anything free, but here's my address if you need it, but like you really don't have to send me anything. I was just really just trying to tweet off a joke. But then I got a little scared because I was wanting to originally tell them their days are numbered, but then I was like, is that going to get me kicked off of Twitter? Is that considered a threat? Is that like saying, like, is that like a threat, me threatening them that I'm going to come find them? But then I'm like, would Elon kick me off for that? Is that a threat in Elon's Twitter?
Definitely not.
Probably not.
That's encouraged.
You got a story for us, Cam?
Yeah. This was determined as male sexual harassment in Europe, or in England, I guess.
All right.
So, like, this is men getting sexually assaulted.
Okay. So, according to the UK tribunal, they ruled that calling men bald is sexual harassment.
Hey. Oh, no. Sexual harassment?
Yeah.
Who knew I've sexually harassed you so much?
Yeah. We can call an HR. But, yeah, this guy used to work for a company in West Yorkshire.
Did the person say, like, hey, I love bald people, or?
No, they called him, supervisor called him a bald C-word during a heated exchange before firing him, and he took the matter to the employment panel, and he won the case. The judge found that because hair loss is much more prevalent among men than women, calling somebody bald is a form of discrimination.
It is a form of discrimination. I've always said that.
He said, in our judgment, there is a connection between the word bald on the one hand and the protected characteristics of sex on the other, the panel said. They thereby determined that by referring to him as a bald C-word, his conduct was unwanted, it was a violation of the of his dignity, and it created an intimidating environment for him.
Good for this guy.
It was done for that purpose, and it is related to the defendant's sex. But, yeah, they basically ruled, yeah, so because baldness is found more in men, pointing out that he's bald is gender discrimination.
See, they're kind of losing me there because I feel like women could be bald, too.
I don't see any bald women.
Yeah. Now, sometimes they, like, cover it up.
Yeah, it's more they usually wear wigs and stuff, but
women go bald.
You should bring back wigs, like the old, like, big white ones.
I look good bald.
From Ben Franklin.
The Drive's up next. Stay locked in on Fan Run Radio.